on procurement, item number one.
From the Director of Procurement, Department of Administrative Services, submitting an informational report regarding housekeeping and janitorial services for Milwaukee County facilities. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Mr. Lee, and I would like to thank Mr. Lee and Mr. Tyler for letting us have an opportunity to listen to the procurement item. And this is really an informational report. And we have many people in the audience who want to speak on this. They will have an opportunity to chime in. They will be talking for 3 minutes only. And if you have questions, please address the questions to Mr. Lee or Mr. Tyler. Mr. Lee, go right ahead.
Yes, Patrick Lee, Department of Administrative Services Procurement. I understand today I'm reporting on procurement activity related to a Chapter 32 acquisition related to housekeeping and janitorial services for Milwaukee County facilities. I'll provide a brief outline of how the process was performed, the results, and then the recommendation that we are moving forward with the county board, requesting permission with the county board. Basically, some background. Historically, housekeeping and janitorial vendors have provided services to Milwaukee County facility pursuant to year-long agreements with provisions for up to 1 and 2 year renewal, up to 2 1-year renewal periods. Current agreements that we have in place were in the process of expiring December 31st, on or about December 31st of 2012. As a result, the Department of Transportation, Department of Health and Human Services, and the Department of Facilities Management cooperatively issued an RFP, RFP 928003, pursuant to Chapter 32 of the Milwaukee County General Ordinances, soliciting proposals from vendors for the provision of these housekeeping services. Responses to the proposals were due back December 3rd, 2012. The RFP was issued on October 29th, 2012, allowing a 5-week response period. The RFP outlined such elements as minimum standards and requested services in order for proposers to offer a solution to the objectives, problems, and needs set forth in the RFP. Proposers were encouraged to define how they needed to how they intended to meet or exceed the RFP requirements. The RFP was developed with direct input from facility stakeholders and operational personnel. The RFP described evaluation criteria, including cost, technical knowledge and expertise, quality of labor and personnel, references, and work history. It also provided relative weights applied to each of these particular criteria. Broad notification of the RFP was performed via publication, posting on Milwaukee County procurement website, posting on the Milwaukee County Business Opportunity Porthole, use of county's e-notify system, and direct identification of potential vendors. Pre-bid conference and tours of all facilities covered by the RFP was also held. At the conclusion of the bidding period, numerous proposals were received. The RFPs divided specific county facilities into three particular categories: Group A, Group B, and Group C buildings, depending on who managed those individual buildings. While the RFP reserved county's rights to award different groups of building to different vendors, the RFP stated that the county's intention to execute a single prime vendor contract for all janitorial service in all buildings was covered in the RFP. This approach is in concert with the comprehensive facilities planning effort underway as a result of a facility study completed earlier this year, encouraging, quote, one county, one landlord approach to facilities. At the time the RFP issued, multiple vendors were provided janitorial services to the county, were set to expire again on December 31st, 2012. I'm reporting to you the information that I'm allowed to share released at this particular time pursuant to Chapter 32, Milwaukee County Ordinances. A couple of notes for discussion. Prior to the receipt of RFP responses, DAS determined to convene an evaluation panel to review the proposals received in response to the RFP in order to ensure that various internal stakeholders' requirements were met and to perform an individual and independent evaluation of the scoring criteria as outlined in the RFP. While not required under Chapter 32, the evaluation panel was established to provide additional evaluative expertise. Upon receipt of RFP responses, each evaluation panel member performed an independent and individual evaluation related to the technical elements of the RFP. An independent cost evaluation was also performed. At the conclusion of the evaluation process, the vendor we are recommending Clean Power's total evaluative score, cost, technical knowledge, expertise, quality of labor and personnel, reference and work history by the evaluation panel members was the highest of all proposers and determined a competitive range, and as such, the evaluation panel recommended that the Department of Administrative Services enter in negotiations with Clean Power. After conducting an additional in-depth tours of all facilities, extensive negotiation, Clean Power submitted its best and final offer on May 22, 2013. This best and final offer was incorporated into the proposer's original RFP response to create the final terms of the agreement. Corporation Counsel, Risk Management, and CBDP have all reviewed and approved the agreement and the underlying documents. Subsequently, intent to award notifications were released to all proposers on June 4, 2013, as required by Milwaukee County General Ordinances 32.50. No protests were received. Therefore, Milwaukee County Ordinance 32.406, related to protests and appeals prior to the submission for board for approval, has been satisfied. The proposed agreement is for 1 year with two additional one-year renewal terms. The county may terminate the agreement at any time for any reason upon 60-day advance notice to Clean Power. And in the event of the expiration or termination of the agreement, Clean Power will be required to continue and provide services for up to 90 days. These both were added after the audit department's discussion related to paratransit suggested we both have termination clauses and continuation of service exercise in all of our agreements. While the agreement allows for modification services to reflect current needs of the covered facilities, all housekeeping janitorial services provided under the current terms of the agreement will be provided for $3,300,000 a year. Also, the agreement also provides for adjustment of prices during the 2 1-year renewal options, but not to directly related to the consumer price index, but not to exceed 3%. So that's at least the highlights of the proposals and the process that we performed.
Any questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So I'm wondering, I read the report, so I was starting to get antsy until you started to finally give me some details that weren't in the report. And I'm wondering, you said everything you could tell us was in the report, but why? It didn't even tell me who it was awarded to. Right. So as I'm reading this last night, I'm like, is there a page missing? And it didn't say it was awarded to. It didn't say the amount. It didn't say those additional terms that you're discussing. And those seem like really relevant facts. And I was wondering, I'm happy you shared them with us now. Why would we not be told that, and why would we not be told any detail on the comparison between the
It very well may be a misunderstanding on my part. It was my understanding that I was to provide information related to how the acquisition process was performed, not necessarily in regards to the process related to particulars on the vendor that was selected during this presentation. I am prepared to discuss specifics if you would like to discuss specifics related to Clean Power, which is the vendor we have submitted a request for approval for.
Okay.
Before we get to that, Mr. Lee and I think Mr. Tyler understand that we could have went to closed session. And I think you went through this once before with the insurance company, that we wanted to make sure that we understand what compare apples to apples, oranges to oranges, and not just give us generic stuff. How can we make a decision? This committee make a sound decision for the residents and plus for the patients that we are looking for and the employees of Milwaukee County of cleaning. And that's why my concern, and I'm happy somebody listened brought that point up. I'm not going to talk from here, but I have a lot of concerns. So let's give you the floor and keep going.
Sure. Well, I don't know what other information he was. I sort of interrupted, I guess. If there was more information he can share, then I'd love to hear it.
Mr. Lee, you have the floor.
Chairman, supervisors, I can certainly appreciate and understand the apprehension that you have and possibly the, I hesitate to use the word confusion, but the confusion that is present in some of the presentations that are made to you as a committee. Prefacing my following comments that I believe these need to be addressed, I guess I'll give you a direct answer to your question. There are two methodologies to which Milwaukee County currently procures non-public works and services, setting those two aside. There is Chapter 56 that is used for procuring professional services that has its own guidelines, procedures, and policies. In particular areas related to that, discussion of vendors, names, submission of proposals, that chapter is relatively quiet. It does not discuss what can or cannot be shared at any given point. Similarly, the experience that you had, I believe, with some real estate transactions may or may not be quiet on those particular points. Where I think we are struggling both together, my desire to be forthcoming and share everything that I possibly can for you, because I want you to make an informed decision and be comfortable with it. I'll cite just two things in Chapter 32. And again, this goes back to a desire to be more forthcoming and a desire potentially to change these in concert if possible. But Chapter 32.47 discusses the disclosure and use of information before award. It states under sub 1, after receipt of proposals, none of the information contained in them or concerning the number or identity of offers shall be made available to the public or anyone in county government. Now you say award. 3240, and I believe this was put in after, I'm from the outside, I'll use the word the surprise last time that outsourcing was done in relation to this contract without it coming before the county board.
Correct.
Okay, I hit it head on. I believe this clause was put in following that historical incident. 3240 states under general six, subparagraph 6, solicitation for services is defined in section 3220, 2 and 14, which is janitorial services, with an aggregate value in excess of $50,000, which this is, shall be approved by the county board prior to award. Approval shall not be requested until after completion of the protest and appeal process outlined in section 3250 and 3251 of this chapter. So what, where I am bumping into being robust in my response, saying, guys, here's the scores, here's who's involved, here's, I can't disclose that supposedly according to 3247 until after it's awarded, and I can't award it until after you guys give me your approval. So I am struggling. I did intend when we send this to the Finance Committee, I have the leeway, it's my understanding, of at least at a minimum providing the awarded vendor who we recommended, their contract and their response and the RFP, because that is truly a part of the contract that you as the county board would be voting on. So please do not construe my dodging questions. If you would sit here today and ask me how many people responded and what were their names, I'm only following what guidelines I've been provided by Milwaukee County ordinances.
No.
Okay.
Supervisor, question.
All right. So I think I understand that relative to how the report was perhaps prepared. But then you did go on to tell us some information, right? So we now know that who's the award is recommended to, and the amount, and the terms, the time, and the extensions, and the out clauses.
And super chairman and supervisors,
Ms. Lee, excuse me, Mr. Tyler, you need to come to the table. They would like you at the table, my colleagues, because they might have some questions for you. Mr. Lee, you can continue now, please.
2 points. My reading of the two ordinances, I could be wrong. Second question. The second question on the table is, I believe at this stage of the game I can give you a robust conversation in regards to the agreement that has been reached with Clean Power in relation to, for example, if you were to ask me questions related to, did you vet references? Yes, Wisconsin Medical College and some other entities. Discussions related to wages and so forth, why it was used and how it was used in this RFP, I would be glad to enter into those discussions. Anything related to this agreement, I'm here at your disposal today.
Okay. I would like to hear about wages, but also could you explain to me then, so if no information is available at the time that the intent to award is issued, if no information is then available, how would one determine whether they wish to protest? What would the basis be for someone to protest the award if they have no information? They just said, oh, I didn't get it, so I'm going to protest, and then at that point, they would still have no information. How would they make the decision, much less proceed on a protest with no information?
Chairman, supervisors, the information that is available and the methodology to protest, at least in a government acquisition, is related to following the process. Did we follow the rules and regulations of Milwaukee County? Is it related to the acquisition? Protests are generally never performed, as you well know, recently on a couple acquisitions related to the park. They don't go back and re-argue the score, saying if somebody can't protest and say, I should have gotten a 10 versus a 9. They can protest that as recently you heard somebody said, there were two people given an extra hour in order to submit a proposal. protestable if they so chose. That the for anything that we have put in, Milwaukee County has put in ordinance in regard. So for example, in this particular one, if though not required, let's say in Chapter 56, was or was not an evaluation panel formed. Some of those, it more goes to methodology versus scoring. Did we follow the guidance that we've been provided by the Board of Supervisors on how to require goods and services within Milwaukee County? And we are not, in regards to sharing that information, we are not, if you beg me one more minute, in regards to sharing that information, it is relatively important in the negotiation process that that information not be shared as if unapproved or something goes awry, you do not have subsequent vendors having then inside knowledge in regards to what other vendors or the name and number of other vendors. I think I've appeared before this committee recently on a parking lot request. And if it would have been known by the vendor during the negotiations that they were not the only one that submitted a proposal, we may or may not have been able to negotiate an additional $56,000 in that agreement. So that's the reason for the quiet period from a procurement perspective.
Could you talk about the wages? And specifically, I thought I'd heard that we have some living wage. There's some language in our ordinance about living wage. Is that in the RFP, and how is that dealt with?
There were two chairman and supervisors. There were two areas that were discussed related to wages within this RFP. First was on page 18, and there was a discussion of pay and benefits. It stated Milwaukee County supports and encourages fair wages and benefits for workers employed by its contractors and subcontractors. Scoring will be based upon the principle of adequately compensated employees deliver a high quality of service. Contractors shall utilize full-time permanent employees as much as possible to staff this contract. So in that particular section on page 18, we discussed fair wages. It was also discussed under the section related to responsible contractor. And among other things, I cite a discussion. All proposers shall provide the small p prevailing wages, benefits, and working conditions for services of a similar nature in a similar locality in which these services are performed. In an RFP of this nature, those two were inserted in order to ensure the availability that the vendor would have availability of staff, continuity of service, and be able to recruit and retain individuals within the workforce. It was not intended, as we discussed during the, there was a question and answer period that followed. One of the vendors did submit a question related to that. Question was, what is the prevailing wage and what minimum must be paid to employees for this contract? I believe this particular vendor was reading it from a capital P prevailing wage. As you all are familiar with the prevailing wages ordinances and relationships that the state provides, there is no capital P prevailing wage as it relates to janitorial or housekeeping services provided by the state. Our response to that particular question was C-section 5.145 of this RFP, which provides, quote, wages and benefits, working conditions for services of similar character in a similar locality. This means wages, etc., are vendor self-determined, but should fall in line with local industry standards. Now, citing that during the RFP process, once the vendor, during the vendor scoring process, I personally went through, outside of the, also that process, I also went through that particular question. We obviously had a we had more than a few interested parties as it relates to wages in this agreement. Most quoted that, quote, individuals within the community providing these services were paid $8.50 per hour. Unsolicited response from an interested party. We also went to the vendor that we were considering, asked what is the prevailing wage and how do you monitor it. In their response, they cited two additional vendors within the community and their pay raise ranges and how they determine what the ongoing rate within the community for these services are. They cited not only websites but also job postings and advertisements for custodial and janitorial services and housekeeping services. I looked for a third potentially unbiased opportunity, and I went to the Bureau of Standard Labor Statistics. The most recent Bureau of Labor Statistics, citing Milwaukee County, Waukesha, and West Allis. Bear with me. The May 12th Milwaukee, Waukesha, West Allis, Wisconsin Occupational Statistics Query System for both janitors and cleaners, except maids and housekeeping. And maids and housekeeping cleaners, they had a 25th percentile at $8.68 an hour and $8.61 per hour. This encompassed approximately 17,000 surveyed individuals within the community that held these jobs. And that is in the 25th quartile, and that is reflective where most best business practices outline you should start a new employee, which is what they indicated in their proposal. So disinterested parties had submitted that the wages that are in this agreement were the small P prevailing wages. The Bureau of Labor Statistics stated that this is what 17,000 people were being paid in that quartile. And an evaluation performed by the submitting vendor documenting how they did it and where they did it. We also included within this agreement the opportunity to ask them to provide information related to their compensation of their employees at any time Milwaukee County requests.
And I appreciate that you honed in on the fact that it was prevailing wage. I misspoke mentioning living wage. So there was no adjustment, no analysis about similarly situated buildings, government institutional buildings versus sort of the
Bureau.
There's no breakdown in any of the sources or.
Sure. Right. Supervisors, I could not find a breakdown.
Were we able to survey other government, or I mean, what is
we did?
We know
did.
What we paid before. What
I did? I did survey additional government entities, and the example of the Milwaukee County Milwaukee Public School System has a requirement of $7.70 per hour.
Really? But is that what they actually pay, or you're saying that's
it's a bottom. Now,
okay, I'm sorry. Then I don't mean to.
I have one more question.
Yeah, just procedurally. How, so this is in front of us informationally. It's going to finance. Under what process and how is this moving?
Okay, this is information.
Yeah.
If you need other questions from him about this report, ask those questions. We can schedule this again. But we are only using this as informational. And when we go in front of finance, you can bring all the questions. They should have the answers, and we can deal with that. And remember, the only thing we do is we vote it up or we vote it down. There's no amendments to this, and that's the way we're going to play this. Get your information, because right now there's a lack of information. Supervisor Weinstein?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I, too, would like to move on to a different subject and hear from the public, because I think it's very clear that the administration does not intend to be forthcoming with us in this process. This goes back to September of 2012, when the first initiating of creating an RFP, and then it was finally let in October of 2012. Now, here we are, the end of July 2013. Now, to think that it takes that long to go through the RFP process for Milwaukee County, it is just ridiculous. And that, you know, this claim that, you know, the bashing of the board, that we take too long, we do this and that, we slow things down. Here we are going on almost a year, and the administration finally brings something to us as an informational item. And, you know, they bring it at the last minute at a special meeting. We had our regular Transportation Public Works meeting. So to have this item even before us now, and then to claim that there's some kind of miscommunication type stuff, that we get two pages of nothing, as was pointed out, no dollar amounts, no who they awarded the contract to, basics like how much square footage, the amount of the contract, things that are general knowledge out there that could have been incorporated into a report. But we don't get that. And I think that this whole thing has just been very disrespectful for our committee and has wasted our time. So I would hope we could move on to another subject.
Good. And I want the committee to indulge me for this real quick. Now, the special meeting was not for this.
Mm-hmm.
The special meeting was for item number 3. And I thank them because they came. We didn't have the time enough to put it on our regular agenda. We would have it. That's not their fault. The information in the report is there for it. But I want to thank you for getting this information report, that even though we don't have a lot of information, but come forward and came in front of this committee. Because that's not their call. That was my call. And I'm glad we want to get this information out to the public and that information to our colleagues to see what we have in front of us right now. Because this was not scheduled on finance. So this is the first time anyone ever had the opportunity to look at this. They see exactly what they're looking for now. They should, they should revamp their report for finance to make sure they have at least the information you gave out right now so people will see that. The second, so Supervisor Weinstein, some of the information you're saying, but I asked them to put this item on our report. They indulged me, so we're going to make sure that we have the information. And that's just why I want to make sure we can't bash them too much. Some information we need, but a lot of that was my call. Now, if you don't want to bash me, I got some broad shoulders, and I will come back with you. So, Supervisor Weinstein, you were right about the report that we need more information, but don't bash them about because they didn't disrespect this committee.
Mr. Chairman, I stopped by the chairwoman's office to see what was referred to finance. What you have before us is not what was referred to finance. Finance has a completely different report. So that's where I object. I think this is, you know, once again, just a lot of political theater. It's a waste of our time.
All right. Now I'm going to check into that part.
Yep. Okay. You'll be in the train. That's why I mentioned it.
All right. Supervisor Taylor, then Supervisor Wilkowski.
I think Wilkowski is adding me.
Okay. No problem. Do you want to yell to the old man?
Yeah, I'll do it. The wily veteran.
Grizzled. You're real grizzled. Supervisor Wilkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think all of us are accountable to our constituents, whatever. And I sit here, and I know that the two gentlemen in front of us are relatively new, okay? I know they're relatively new, but let me ask Mr. Tyler, in this circumstance, does the buck ultimately stop with you?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay. So, I'm sitting here, and your employee kind of frying in the pan, and yet I don't hear what you have to say if there's in defense or whatever. And I guess I'm curious that if ultimately you are responsible, Mr. Tyler, then how do you respond?
Mr. Chair, I guess the way I respond is that I am very supportive in the work that my procurement division has done on this effort. I hope you can see what Mr. Lee has accomplished during this process in terms of trying to keep that process, the process with integrity. So I support 100% of what Mr. Lee has done and what he's reporting with you today. You can see, I hope you can see, the effort that went into this process, and I hope you can see what he has been trying to do to work within the ordinances and provide you with the information that you are wanting to get.
Sure, you're just a jury.
No, the only question I have, and I meant to ask that before Mr. Supervisor, Mr. Tyler, is this a different report than finance received?
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Okay. So,
seeing that I still have the floor, I guess, and it's not just in this instance, and I've just seen it a lot lately, where single people get up in front of committees or whatever, and they need some assistance, and yet there's nobody that seems to be willing to help people out. I'm just kind of floored by it, and it's not just in this situation, Mr. Chairman. I've seen it in Corporation Council. I've seen it in other areas where I am absolutely stunned that we send up like the newest guy or the youngest person or whatever. The person is going to take on Yahoo's like all of us and fries in the pan. So I say shame on the leadership. Get up there and help your people, for goodness sakes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, it sounds to me there's something potentially wrong with the ordinances, because I don't know how anybody can expect us to continue to be asked to make decisions without the proper information. And Mr. Lee, I believe that what you're presented, I believe everything you presented us is what you believe is all you can. I mean, I don't think you're trying to hide things from us. I think you're being very professional. Right now, the relationship between the executive branch and the legislative branch is not very good. And anybody that has to sit in your chair, it's got to be uncomfortable. So I appreciate you coming here and giving us your best effort. But something's wrong with our ordinances if this is how we're being asked to make decisions. I guess I'll ask a question of Mr. Tyler. Why did this take so long? Why, if this started back in September, we're here now? I guess that would be my first question.
Mr. Chair, I am going to refer it to Patrick, because I joined the county in February, and he's certainly much more tuned into it. I should also clarify on the report, the original report that was submitted, one of the things that we wanted to do, we offered in the first paragraph of the report that Supervisor Weishen read, was that we understood that this needed to be referred to finance under the new legislation, but that we were interested in providing an informational in the regular session. So I just wanted to clarify that.
correct answer to your question in regards to the timing coming before you today. Similarly to the circuitous logic contained within Chapter 32 in regards to disclosure, during the process of this acquisition, we followed the guidelines related to use of the Community Business Development Department that was under the purview of the County Board at that particular time. We read our instructions as it relates to in that particular chapter. We were required in order to get a DBE percentage valuation in regards to this acquisition, which we did. Subsequently, the Community Development Business Department is supposed to supply us with not only the percentage valuation that is a goal for this particular acquisition, but they're also supposed to supply us, according to ordinance, the appropriate paperwork in order to include within this acquisition when we send out the RFP. We did both of those. Where we reached a point of disagreement is within the chapter related to Community Business Development Partnership. Again, I believe it was a clip and paste into the ordinance as being responsive to some historical fact. But it clearly states in there that I'm supposed to submit the paperwork back to them that I received from the DBE portion of the RFP back to them, and they are supposed to make an evaluation on a pass-fail basis if the vendor submitting that information achieved the either a good faith effort or achieve the DBE goal. We reached a impasse on my reading versus Community Development's reading, which took a number of weeks. I submitted it to Corp Counsel for clarification. Corp Counsel responded that I was due back what I believe I was due back. There was 4 months back and forth. No, I don't have to give it to you. Yes, I do. But Corp Counsel says, well, I don't have to do it. Corp got it back. I won't go into the details. I have them documented. Yeah. That being said, we ultimately received back from the Community Development Business Partnership what I believe was what we were to originally receive upon submission. Correspondingly, they included in that particular response an admonition that we should not include or exclude any vendor at that particular time for potential protests. We followed that advice. They requested another additional overview of this particular contract once we had found the vendor and negotiated an agreement. Out of respect for that particular department and their request and their concern in regards to potential protests and following procedure, we again resubmitted it to that particular department, and they reviewed the final contract and found it in compliance. So a long answer to your question is similar to the circuitous route we are talking about in regards to what can be shared and when prior to award and award can occur. There's some verbiage within that particular chapter that I believe could be more robustly defined in guidance with the federal government that would make acquisitions related to DBE far more robust and serve that community far, far better and make the acquisition process not only user-friendly, but also encourage the community use of DBEs. Second, I guess if I may put an editorial in here.
No editorial.
I have no problem if I can continue with the answer. Are you still answering my question about why it took so long?
That's the answer to your question, yes.
An editorial was still answering that question?
No, it was more a follow-up on Chairman Supervisor Borkowski's comment about being in the frying pan. Don't feel that way.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Well, obviously, if anybody hasn't paid attention just the last month or two, there's some just real problems here. And, I mean, Don, would you be in our shoes and in these chairs and be asked and actually make a decision when you don't have the information? I mean, when we're accountable to 53, 4, 5,000 people, would you sit here and based on this document, if we had to decide, because there's nothing in this document, would you vote, yep, let's move forward?
Mr. Chair, I think that is a conundrum that we are all struggling with, and I think you saw that in Mr. Lee's dialogue and discussion. And his effort in trying to follow the ordinances and at the same time providing you with the information you need to be able to make good decisions. Now, this is an informational report, which is different than, you know, what finance has to do, right, in terms of making a decision. But I hope that you have seen in Mr. Lee's discussion here, he's struggling, understandingly, that he... you know, that you're in a situation of having to make a decision, yet he's in a position of wanting to follow the ordinances. So
right, I understand what you're telling me, but you have an ordinance issue potentially. We don't know for sure if this, you know, whether there are problems in the ordinance or not, but you have that issue, and there is lack of information issue, whether it's on this item or other items, because to continue bring stuff to not only this committee or other committees without enough information so we can actually make a decision, this is going to be a rocky road.
So I'll let you, Mr. Chair, if I could respond to that. One of the things that I hope maybe you have not felt an uptick on this yet, but under my leadership, what I am hoping is that you are seeing a little bit more dialogue and attempt to reach out from my staff prior to these meetings. We've been trying to, obviously, over the last couple of weeks, it's been very difficult for us to reach out to you directly on the various items that are coming before the various committees. But I hope if you're not feeling that now, that is something that is clearly directed to my staff, is to reach out and make sure that you have the information you need through one-on-one meetings or whatever it takes for you to get the information you need. Patrick?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First question is, gentlemen, either of you capable of answering or interested in answering, could you give us a quick overview on what the differences are between the report, the two-page that we received, and what's going to be presented to finance?
Chairman, supervisors, I would be delighted.
Before you answer that question, so you understand, Mr. Tyler, since this is your department, whenever you give a report to a committee, this is your parent committee, it should have been the same report you give to finance. Because even though once that contract is done, anything else, any corrections or anything else, will have to come in front of the parent committee. And this is your parent committee. That same report you had at finance should have been here. And that's my concern. And you check your ordinance, because it's not in your ordinance, sir. And when I come to finance, you better be straight on with your ordinance, because I will challenge you with your ordinance. And I will show you where your interpretation of the ordinance is different than somebody else's interpretation. So we're going to have fun with the ordinance. I'm sorry, Mr. Supervisor, it just bothered me with that. Just go right ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So my question was just, We've discovered in this meeting so far that there are two different reports being submitted to committees. I can see where that might be an acceptable situation if there were different goals between the two different committees, but I haven't heard anything like that yet, so I'm just curious, what is the difference between the reports and the reasoning behind it? Shortly, please.
Chairman, supervisors, the major differences in the reports, obviously it indicated the selected vendor. It mentions dollar value. It provides possibly some additional dates and additional issues related to how many were notified. I guess speaking to that particular point, on June 24th, we sent a memo to the chairwoman. It says the Department of Administrative Services seeks approval to enter into an agreement with Encore One DBA, doing business as Clean Power LLC, for the provision of housekeeping and janitorial services in Milwaukee County facilities. Under the provision of Act 14, we respectfully request this report and attached documents to be referred to Finance and Audit Committee for consideration. If appropriate, we would be also pleased to provide an informational presentation to the Transportation and Public Works Committee. Since June 24th, this has not been referred to either of the committees. I believe Supervisor Mayo reached out verbally to myself and Mr. Tyler and requested us to prepare some documentation for this meeting. If it is my lack of knowledge, if it is my ineptitude, or if it's my incompetency, I certainly apologize for providing you a different report than was provided and intended to appear upon your desk through submission to the chairwoman. I also correspondingly would like to request, if Jody has any input, from the standpoint of we prepared this within 1 hour period time last week when it was requested that it appear in front of this committee, and all that I was requested to was to prepare a document so that it could get on this particular agenda. In no way do we want to, as Supervisor Weishan clearly pointed out, the information and the robust discussion that it had is in Legistar and available for all to see. And I apologize for the oversight. If I could have last Friday, rather than spending an hour and a half writing this document and getting it into Legistar and having it approved and getting it to Jody, if all I needed to do was to copy the document that I sent to the chairwoman, I would have been glad to do it. It would have saved me hours worth of work. So I apologize for my incompetency.
Thank you, sir. It, from what I'm hearing, it sounds like perhaps there's a big misunderstanding, and I'm sure this, I hope this type of a misunderstanding won't happen in the future. But nonetheless, earlier in your presentation, you were explaining that December 31st of 2012 is when the prior contract was ending, which is why this RFP began at the end of 2012. Can you help me understand what the branch over has been in the interim? Because we're now like mid-2013, and it sounds like the contract ended, so I'm not connecting the dots there.
As the prior contracts were on a price agreement, the chairman, supervisors, as the contracts were on a price agreement, we've been able to extend. The vendors have been gracious enough to extend on a month-to-month basis during this interim basis. I can also add that it has been, as we intimately involved the stakeholders and facility managers of these individual buildings in the RFP process, it has been very wearing during this period of time, and has the quality of service been compromised? Unprofessional opinion, yes.
Thank you, sir. With the chair's permission, I'd like to ask you to kind of focus your answers to the question I'm asking, because I have several more and want to make sure we get the answers covered for this committee. So can you just clarify for me then, if the current vendor is on a price extension and the original RFP was, I'm presuming, supposed to be for service beginning January 1st of 2013, what would the initial one-year first term of the new vendor be if everything is approved?
Chairman, supervisors, it would be a one-year agreement with two-year options based upon the first date of service. So if they would begin in September, we would begin
how
the contract.
How is that first date of service determined, though? Is that based on, 16 days after county board approval, or how does that work?
It would certainly, I don't want to say be negotiable, but the intent is, as this particular vendor currently is servicing some county facilities,
It would begin the beginning of the month after the approval by the board. As one of the contingency plans in this particular agreement, we negotiated with the vendor an orderly transition between all the buildings because we wanted a sound and sturdy startup, and that's been done.
Okay, thank you. And forgive my memory on this. I wish I remembered more and understood more about the RFP process, and you and I still owe each other that meeting to educate me more. But at the beginning of the RFP process, did any committee of the county board or the board itself approve either the RFP itself to go out or the process that was going to be used in the RFP, and or was that required?
Chairman, supervisors, no, and I don't believe that is required.
Earlier, sir, you were explaining components of the RFP scoring, and you used a term and you said quality of labor and personnel. What does that mean?
I can grab the scoring sheets, but that has to do with training, acquisition of employees, methodology for acquisition, interview process, vetting of the individual employees. That very well, I'm not sure where it particularly fell, but during this particular process, we also included additional enhancements for background checks that we felt were necessary.
Could you grab a score sheet, not to tell me any scores, but so that you can answer my next question, sir?
What is your next question?
I'm wondering just what the score, with the scoring methodology, he mentioned earlier, Mr. Chairman, that this quality of labor and personnel was a component, and he said cost was a component. I'm just curious, was this decided on 95% cost and 5%? Do they do background checks? Or was this 50-50? Or what component did prevailing wage or quality of labor take as part of the decision process?
Okay, Mr. Lee, anything that you are going to give her as a percentage, if you want any of the committee members to look at the scoring sheet, you need to do that privately with them or we go into a closed session. Anytime we go into looking at different scoring sheets or different things, we do not do that in open session. We will work as a committee, and that's where we don't have no conflicts if there would be a challenge. So in other words, if you look, if she's talking about, say the MBE was 25%, that's what you tell her. If the if wages is 5%, that's what you tell her. The percentage only, not what the person scored, anything else like that. Thank you, Mr. Lee.
Chairman, supervisors, the criteria, evaluation criteria as requested is outlined on Chapter 2 as required in an RFP process to be clearly defined during the submission or during the posting. Costs encompass 30% of the score. It was itemized cost breakdown, project cleaning cost breakdown, and special project rates. Technical knowledge and expertise contain 30% of the score, inclusive equipment and supplies, cleaning schedules, procedures, methods, training, and work experience of the workforce. Quality of labor personnel was 40% of the total score. Talked about discussion of organization, supervision, and quality control processes, pay and benefits. References and work history, 10% of the score, encompassing quality of work, personnel assigned, and work performed in similar facilities.
Thank you. And earlier you spoke about prevailing wage with a big P and prevailing wage with a small P. Can you just give me a very quick synopsis because I didn't understand the difference in what you meant?
My interpretation of prevailing with a small P would be, let me explain the large P first, I apologize. Chairman, supervisors, capital P. Mr. High is in the room. I believe he can go into more depth if you want an expertise, but capital P prevailing wages are usually used within public works where individuals working on public works projects are required to report to the state of Wisconsin what they pay those associates in very specific and defined job tasks. An electrician working on a building greater than 10 stories. They report it. They calculate it, the state posts it, and that's the prevailing wage for that particular classification. Small p, as for housekeeping and janitorial, there is no process for that within the state because housekeeping is not a public works project. Small p would be the prevailing winds are generally from the south, the general notion of what the market is currently bearing. And that's where I use the Bureau of Labor Statistics, price survey performed by the selecting vendor, and then also correspondence from other parties related to interpreting what that prevailing wage would be.
Thank you. And then you gave data earlier when you quoted the BLS reports, Milwaukee, Waukesha, West Dallas, $8.68 being in the 25th percentile. It was unclear if you meant the top 25th percentile or if you meant at the bottom. And I'm just mixing up terminology here.
It is at the bottom 25th percentile.
Okay, so that means that when you line
up... Top of the 25th, yes.
So when you line up the 17,000 people surveyed in the BLS profile, that means that if you went 25% of the way up from the bottom, the person at that level was making $8.68 per hour, so 75% of those 17,000 people were making more money than that, correct?
That is correct.
Okay.
It's my understanding.
Final group of questions here is if that is considered how prevailing wages are calculated and assessed, and 40% of the scoring methodology was regarding quality of labor, of which salary and benefits would be a component of, then was anything assessed from the vendors who responded to the RFP in relation to peripheral benefits, such as health care, vacation, sick days, that sort of thing, and or the actual pay range so that people get raises rather than only looking at that 25th percentile of a starting wage?
The individual evaluators did not have the Bureau of Labor Statistics or those in front of them. That was a re-verification on my part that adequate workforce could be provided. Again, the notion of providing a prevailing or a fair wage is the notion that did it appear during the evaluators were making the determination, did it appear through the program that they have for hiring staff, compensating staff, would they be able to provide a constant and uniform workforce in supplying these particular services? I'm not trying to avoid the question, but I'm not trying to avoid the question. The question doesn't revolve necessarily around using what they pay their employees as a criteria. Just can they get employees for what they are willing to pay related to this agreement? I cannot supplant my own or anyone's own will to say, I think somebody should get X number of dollars because I'm not permitted to do that.
Last question, sir. Hypothetically speaking, if two companies had applied for this RFP and one was offering $8 an hour with the opportunity for employees to get raises up to $15 an hour with time, and the other company was offering $9 an hour with no opportunities for raises whatsoever, would that type of a differential have been noted or counted for anything in the scoring of the RFP process?
The evaluators would have had made the individual determination on their part what they felt based on their expertise on how to score that particular. In other words, it isn't a math problem. It's an evaluation problem.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Okay. And Mr. Lee, I want to apologize to you. The reason I'm apologizing to you is because I did not understand that you put a report to us for an hour. And if you knew that we had the right report, you would have came back and gave me the right report. So on that note, I apologize for my outburst to you.
Mr. Lee, Chairman, Supervisor, no apology necessary.
Sir, that's quite all right. Thank you. Mr. Tyler, Mr. Lee, you can step away. I'm going to bring people up here now. Dave Sumcake. Son of what?
Scale. Summer Scale.
Oh, I see. Oh, there it is. Yeah, Summer Scales. I'm sorry. I talked to you this morning.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It's probably my poor penmanship. I apologize.
Yes. I run. I get it.
You get him quick. You don't let him go.
Oh, no. 301.
He read it wrong. 259
tops. Hey. I read it wrong. 3 minutes. Let's go.
Okay. My name is Dave Summerscales. I'm from the Service Employees International Union, Local 1. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have some information I'd like to submit to each of the supervisors, if I could.
Now, you do know this is an information report?
Strictly information.
Okay. Thank you. Is this not about a vendor?
No, this is not about a vendor. No, absolutely not.
Right.
It's not about, excuse me, it is about Clean Power, the vendor in discussion here. There's information that it's clear to me this board, this committee rather, does not have about Clean Power.
It's not their bid.
And I don't have any information about their bid. Nobody in this room does except for the procurement office, obviously.
Okay. Your 3 minutes started right now.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate the extra time here. Let me just say that first of all, I'm here because not just to express my disappointment in this decision, but I'm hoping to persuade the entire board and this committee, first of all, not to make an enormous mistake in awarding this bid to Clean Power. Folks, the name Clean Power is synonymous with bad employer. And you may or may not be aware of that, but I'm hoping to supply some of that information. I've got about 6 to 10 pages worth of documented evidence as to why we consider them a bad employer, why they're considered a bad employer. You look in that in the files there, they have more than 30 complaints filed with Department of Workforce Development Equal Rights Division just in the last 9 years. Many of those regarding unpaid wages, racial discrimination, gender discrimination, disability, and on a list of things that are documented in there. They have a poor track record. They're the second highest number of OSHA complaints in the state of Wisconsin, Clean Power. I can tell you about employees who work for Clean Power. I've talked to, have filed a pregnancy discrimination charge against Clean Power, a woman named Rosetta Harris, who was terminated by Clean Power when she was 6 or 7 months pregnant simply for speaking up and saying, I'd like to make more money. I'd like to have benefits. I'd like to have what other janitors in Milwaukee make that I don't make. And there are other folks here to testify about those workers. These people wanted to be here to speak today. But you know what? They've got to work 2 and 3 jobs because they're living in poverty. So they don't have time to come here, unfortunately. The woman I mentioned and several other people are afraid to testify about how they've been treated by or mistreated by Clean Power. So I think that the board needs to take, this committee needs to take that into consideration. And then lastly, I would say that I don't think Milwaukee County wants to be contracting with a lawbreaker. And I have included Clean Power's own employee handbook to show you that they are breaking the law. It is in black and white in their handbook. I have marked page 9. On page 9, they state that if an employee doesn't give what they consider proper notice, they will be paid out there the last 2 weeks at minimum wage. This is against the law. If people are making $8, $9 an hour, you can't pay them the minimum wage because you feel they didn't give you enough notice. It's against the law. Page 14, another violation of Wisconsin wage and hour law. Statute 103.13, I provided it for you. If you go to Clean Power and ask for employment verification, it's usually a sheet of paper about this long, they will charge you $10 for that sheet. The state of Wisconsin says that employers cannot charge an unreasonable fee for that information. $10 for a sheet of paper is an unreasonable fee, and they are doing that. It's in their handbook. You have it in front of you. It's breaking the law. Haven't even gotten to the issue of wages. These $8.60 an hour, $8 an hour, these are poverty wages. And that's what Clean Power is paying folks at other locations around Milwaukee. And I don't think that Milwaukee County wants to be supporting creating more poverty wage jobs. We went down this road when all this work was contracted out under the previous county executive. This is a chance for the county board to at least correct some of that. And not hiring an irresponsible contractor like Clean Power that pays these poverty wages, forces people onto
county services, county health services. That costs the taxpayers money. Badger Care, food stamps, food share, WIC. This is what Clean Power employees have to do. We've talked to them. This is wrong. The county doesn't want to be any, have any part of that, I'm sure. And here's the other thing about prevailing wages, the discussion that came up. These are not prevailing wages, $8.60 an hour. There are 500 janitors within a mile, square mile of the county courthouse that make more than that. I know because they're members of our union. They make $11 an hour. They do have some benefits. And so to say that those are prevailing wages is just, to me, seems very disingenuous. So I would ask that the county, this committee, reconsider this. There are responsible cleaning contractors that will do this work, pay a decent wage, treat the employees far better than Clean Power. And you know what? I think that it shouldn't just be about a race to the bottom. And it's sad to see that the procurement office is leading this race to the bottom. They're simply looking at the bottom line. What's the cheapest contractor? That's what I'm hearing today at this session. What is the cheapest contractor? But the county has a responsibility to its taxpayers to not just look for the easiest, cheapest bottom line. We've got a lot of people out of work in this county, a lot of people struggling in these $8 an hour jobs. And I ask that not only this Clean Power Award be rejected by this committee, but this committee and other committees should look into canceling any other contracts that the county currently has with Clean Power. They're a bad actor. We should not be in the business with a poverty wage company and a lawbreaker like Clean Power. Thank you.
Thank you. Janice Nicholas? All right. I'm sorry if I butchered your name. Forgive me.
That's okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, supervisors. My name's Nicholas Janice. I work here in Milwaukee County with Wisconsin Jobs Now. Today, I just want to thank you all for the dedication that you've shown to the community at large by being elected representatives. As Dave was saying earlier, many employees that work with Clean Power as a contract, either at downtown facilities or even county facilities, are experiencing extremely low pay. What the direct result of this is, we have 300 Clean Power employees on the Badger Care system here in Wisconsin. Supervisor Alexander asked the amazing questions about wages, and we can determine from the answers that we were given, or non-answers that we were given, that these wages are a race to the bottom. The county, approving a contractor such as Clean Power that has proven time and time again to not offer a living wage to their employees and not offer the respect and dignity that every employee deserves. We have seen that the result of this is more dependence on public welfare. We can attribute that quite simply to these employees having more than one job, having more than two jobs just to make ends meet. There's four stories here that current and past Clean Power represented employees have submitted to our organization, and I'd ask that, Mr. Chairman, it would be allowed for these to be written into the record as evidence of the mishandling of business operations by Clean Power.
You have written?
They are written and printed out.
Okay.
If they can be included. But I just want to take a quick phrase from one of these testimonials. This Connie Sullivan was a Clean Power employee that was affected by wage theft. Her direct quote is, "I feel so discouraged when my checks are missing hours that I've worked. After working hard and having to drive to different parts of the city, I feel horrible not being paid for the work that I've done. Sometimes it takes months to pay me the right amount." So we can see through the Department of Labor violations that Clean Power has had in the state of Wisconsin and by these testimonials that Clean Power is not a good corporate actor, and it's the responsibility of this committee and the Milwaukee County Board as a whole to ensure that the contract workers that we, the taxpayers, pay for on a daily basis are afforded respect, dignity, and a fair wage. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Mary, you got last call on here? Okay. pronounce your last name, because I cannot make this one up.
Kudrowska.
Come again?
Kudrowska.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, committee.
Good afternoon.
I stand before you. I was a housekeeper for Milwaukee County for 10 years. As I sat here and listened to testimony from Patrick and others, I will say that the wages that they are submitting is $7 an hour. That's an average maid, okay? That works in a hotel. The department I worked in, we worked in the jail. We worked in the morgue. We've had bios, okay? Milwaukee County sent us to classes to learn how to clean biohazard masks up, how to take care of bloody areas and whatever we came upon. We were trained in that. You invested in us, okay? So when you're saying $7 an hour, you're considering yourself a maid in a hotel. I would compare us to working in a hospital, okay? They don't pay their workers $7 an hour, okay? Starting wages are $12, $13. Okay, and that's what we were making at Milwaukee County. We all came in back in the 80s when nobody wanted these jobs. Oh, God, they didn't want to clean a toilet. That was beneath them. We started at minimum wage. We worked our way up. We went to classes, and each class you took, you got credit for it. And you as a board knew we took these classes. You knew that if we went to clean a biohazard up in the jail or the morgue and we entered into a public building, we came back and we weren't spreading this all over. When you're dealing and you're paying someone $7 an hour, I guarantee you they don't have the training in that. They don't. And the company they work for doesn't want to send them to the training to learn that, because then they'll have to pay them more money. And Patrick sat up here, and he's giving you all these numbers. And, okay, if he investigated and really studied in this, did he check the Better Business Bureau? Did he check on this company? What did he do? What did he really do? I guarantee you, all he did was look at numbers and go, okay, this one's cheaper. Okay? To me, you guys are being forced one company, force-fed. One company. You have no idea who the other ones were. It's your choice to do the right thing. 89 people are still out of a job. You can put us back in, and you got security, acknowledge, and training. Thank you.
Derek Nichols. P-A-R-R-I-S. Is he here? He's against it. Barbara Jackson. She's against it.
Oh. I got no glasses. We have glasses up, Charette.
All right. We're trying hard. Charette. Hey. Why don't you just raise your hand and let me know how it is?
Hello.
Hello.
My name is Claret Riley. I used to work for Milwaukee County in the housekeeping department. I don't even know where to begin. I lost my job at Milwaukee County, and I'm out of a job as I speak right now. But at this present time, I'm taking care of my mother, and it's hard. I have no income. And I don't even know what else to say, but to consider us. All of our coworkers are not here because they have a part-time job. Some of them back there don't even have a job. People think we're working. We're not working. We're out of a job. People are getting placed back into the system, and we're not getting placed back into the system. They think we're back into the system, and we're not. I applied for the airport. They turned me down. They said, I don't have no experience. They put a freeze on it. My sister worked there. I'm going to look for jobs. I can't find anything. If it's something, it's part-time. I cannot do part-time work taking care of my mother. My mother is ill. I know you guys probably don't want to hear that, but I'm speaking on the behalf of my coworkers back here that we are all out of a job. We don't know what to do. We look for jobs. No one wants to hire us. People think we're back into the county system. No, we're not. Everybody thinks we have a job back into the county system, and we don't. So I don't know if you guys want to consider us or I don't know. But I appreciate you guys hearing me out.
Thank you. Joseph B L O U N or
wow.
You will.
Good afternoon. My name is Joseph Blau. I'm the general manager with Performance Clean LLC, headquartered in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We were one of the bidders invited to provide a proposal to the procurement department back in October. I understand this is informational, so I'll get to the point. We are frustrated with the process that occurred as a what we believe is a very qualified local DBE vendor in the city of Milwaukee that has a very strong reputation. The due diligence that was done after the selection wasn't afforded to companies such as Performance Clean. Tours weren't made of our facilities. Phone calls weren't made to our references. We weren't called in for a introduction to meet us, to find out more about us, to learn more about Performance Clean and what advantages our services would provide to the county. We find that very disheartening that a bid of this size of well over $3 million is just going to be awarded based on some paper and a few conversations and a few tours through the current incumbents' key buildings in the area. We deal with public facilities every day. We understand the needs. What we're asking for is that this, many of our concerns were brought up by the board here today, and we ask that this be strongly, considered to take a step back, revisit all of the numbers, look at the scoring, and provide a level playing field for all those involved. We completely planned on protesting, but the information that we were provided didn't allow us any information or data to protest. We could simply say the letter that we wanted to protest, but that information wasn't available for us, not even the baseline information. So we actually felt foolish to say we protest, and what are we protesting? You have to have a reason, a cause. We had actually sent multiple requests on May 29th. I sent a notification prior to the notification requesting, a open records request was denied per Section 32. Again, after the award notification letter was sent, we did respond on June 6th and asked for the top three competitive bids with the scoring. We're not, and we understand there's a process. And we do believe that we're a professional service. So, but again, I want to thank you for your time and hopefully you'll reach an agreeable decision. Thank you.
Thank you. We have two Lamars. Both of y'all want to come up together, Gail and Gail, y'all related. State your names for the record when you come up.
Hi, I'm Gail Lamar.
I'm Demel Lamar.
Okay. Yeah. Y'all got 5 minutes since y'all both together.
Okay. Oh, okay. Y'all need to. I would just like to say that I think that the board should reconsider the previous county employees that were let go for the positions that are still out there. I think it was a disservice that was done to them, and that reconsideration would be more than appropriate, I believe, at this point, to consider offering them their jobs back. I don't see hiring an outside company benefiting the county as much as it would benefiting prior county employees that were dedicated to their jobs with the county at the time. And I don't want to see any work because I might get upset.
Okay. Where did you work at with the
We were facility workers, one. I'm facility worker one.
Okay.
This is my wife. Also, every time we were try to come down to a meeting to try to get put on their agenda or whatever, we always get pushed up under the table. It was never heard about us or anything. When it did let us go, well, I guess we were supposed to have been getting placed somewhere. We never did hear anything. It was just like nothing. The 3 years and a day came. We were still trying to talk with someone, the union and everything. But it was just always just swept up under the doors like, okay, you guys, 3 years and a day, you're gone. There's nothing else for us to say. You know, all of us back here, we all have a job. You know, we're still looking now. I mean, I put in for the airport also, parks, everything. I started out in parks in 91. I came down to the courthouse. Thought it was going to be a great place to work. Got laid off three times. That's about it. That's about it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next speaker is Marvin Pratt. Okay, are you for or against or what? Okay. And the last speaker is Jefferson Jameson. He is against. All right, Supervisor Bukowski.
I have two questions, Mr. Chairman, and if I'm out of order, then I know you'll tell me.
I will.
Okay. I'd like to know if there's someone here from Clean Power.
Anyone from the Clean Power?
Okay.
Chairman, supervisors, no, there is not. They were not aware of this particular meeting. I did not reach out to them based upon it informational only.
Okay.
Okay. My second question. Mr. Lee, Mr. Tyler, unfortunately, some of us that have been around a while have seen privatization take place throughout certain areas of Milwaukee County government, but I believe every single time that we've gone private, the company that ultimately got the bid, part of the deal was that they were gonna hire, you know, the former employees, okay? And I guess I'm kind of stunned here that if you know what's the story that they're not even going to be considered or what's I mean that how grossly unfair is that? I mean, and I just want to know what that's all about.
Chairman, supervisors, are you speaking of the original conversion from privatization from county to privatization? As I was not here nor understanding of any of the agreements between those particular parties.
Gary Wozniak, come on.
If
Chairman, supervisors, Gary Wozniak with Facilities Management. We're going back, but when we went from county employees to the first cleaning company. The cleaning company was provided with a contact list of all housekeeping employees, current as we had it in facilities management. So we provided that list to the new cleaning company, which was MidAmerica at the time. That was part of the RFP. The original RFP was all efforts would be made to re-employ employees that were their jobs were displaced.
Okay, now I want to get specific, Mr. Chairman, and that is the numerous speakers that we had, and I think I've heard them, they've all lost their job, and I guess Mr. Wozniak or Mr. Lee, I mean, how do we help these people get employment if they know how to do the job and they've done the job and we've gone from MidAmerica to maybe now Clean Power or whatever? What's the deal there?
There's certainly nothing preventing them from applying with whatever company would get the cleaning contract. I know there's two people that are currently working for the current contractor that are were previously county employees. They contacted MidAmerica, applied, and got jobs with them.
Okay.
Just a second. Sit out of court. Who are you, Mr. Jameson?
Yeah, I'm with him.
We call you up. We'll call you up. Perfect.
Well, okay. I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. I guess my point, gentlemen, is that just out of fairness, out of morality, whatever, you know, I recognize that we're dealing with the taxpayer dollars and that kind of thing. But for goodness gracious, you've got people that have done this job before. Granted, they're going to probably take a wage reduction, but we should make every effort to make this as easy as possible for those people who've paid the dues.
Okay.
And I guess I would ask you to somehow have some kind of outreach with whoever the vendor is and give them those names and figure out a way that they get first dibs on that possible work.
All right. Also, that the ones that we can come back to work in Milwaukee County, because we do have some places where they can fall in. That's where I thought that was also part of that contract. Thank you, Mr. Wozniak, and thank you, Mr. Lee. Sir, you want to come up and make a comment and give him a blue card so we got him on record. Grab one of the blue cards. So you can sign your name and stuff to it.
Oh, my name is Arlene. I'm Jeffrey James.
You was the last person I asked about.
Oh, I didn't hear you.
Yes.
You got 3 minutes.
My name is Jeffrey Jameson. I think the whole so-called setup to get us our jobs once we was terminated from the county was it was all fake and phony. It was a farce from the very start, the get-go. They want to put this persona like they really want to help us and going to help us get this job with these new companies thinking about it. That was never their intention. Their intention was throw us away like we was garbage, and you pay other people's half the salary you're paying us, and you get very substandard, below standard, average type of work. I done heard stories too recently from people I knew, numerous girlfriends and stuff went down there and telling me, hey, the bathroom's nasty. It looks disgusting. And a lot of us took pride in our work just because a few maybe didn't. You know, that shouldn't look at us as a whole in that, because I took very much pride in my work every day. You know, I made sure, because I had to do anywhere from 30 to 40 bathrooms, I made sure I went and did rounds every hour on the hour. So I kept those bathrooms on point, especially the bathroom where the general public was going through. Because last thing I want to do is my boss or anybody else coming in and looking at this bathroom looking filthy. Because my thing, I took pride in it. All of us took pride in it. But when you got people, you paying them half the salary, you paying them, we making $10, $11, $12, $13 an hour. You pay these people $5, $6, $7, $8 an hour. That's what you're going to get, $5, $6, $7, $8 worth of work. I'll tell you right now. And all this stuff that they want to have you to think that they really doing, they didn't care. That's what they want. That's the image they want to portray. Oh, if you know, this and that. But the thing about what I just heard, if I'm not for sure, what? Two people actually got a job with these companies. I even went to that fake, phony place, Mid-America, whatever, and then what they do, they gave me the run around like I was some clown off the streets. And I worked for the county. I didn't work years like some of my friends back here, but I worked some years, but not long-term years. But at the same time, though, I put in time, too. And I took the time to go down to see Mid-America, and I was run through the ring. Oh, well, you know, this and that. Well, I never did get a car. You know? So my thing was, don't believe the hype. Because that's all it been from the very start, hype. You know? So my thing is, what they should have did was, they should have said, you know what? We keep these people at their salary. The one we feel that we're not doing their work, doing their job, get rid of those individuals. Don't get rid of us as a whole, as a group. That's where the problem is at right there. Because like I said, you had a few of them, you know what I'm saying, wasn't doing nothing because they felt, I've been here 20, 30, 40, 50 years, I ain't got to really do nothing. And my thing was, they looked at that as the union took care of them, looked out for them, they didn't have to worry, and that was the problem. So what they did was, so you know what, so we got to fight the union for one person, we just have to, we just create something to get rid of all of them. That's where the problem is at. You should have just got rid of a few besides getting rid of all of us. Thank you.
All right. Is that the last comment from the public?
Yeah.
No, you're one more thing? That's it.
then this is information, and we will be, he will be the last person on this item. And who are you, young man?
Yes, my name is Jose Rodriguez.
Okay.
I worked for Milwaukee County 14 years too. Mm-hmm. When I got hired back in 96 as a custodian. The first 90 days I did custodian at the jail. And then I got an interview from security if I wanted to do security. And then I went to security. I did security for two years. Then after 2 years, I was the mailman for the Milwaukee County. I delivered the mail for 6.5 years. And then after that, somebody with more seniority came and took my job, and then I was put at the loading dock for 3.5 years. After I got laid off, I was interviewed for security by Gary Watson and Ernesto Sanchez. I was called to size of uniform and everything, and then after 2 days, Ernesto told me that, when can I start, and I told him, well, as soon as possible. After that, I never got called for security because I wasn't trained for security, but I did 2 years. The gentleman there standing in front of me, I remember one time when you came in, I was security on 10th Street. You came in when we had the old IDs. When you came in, I knew who you were, but still you showed me the old ID. And everybody through the whole county had new IDs. When you came in, you showed the old ID, and I said, excuse me, sir, but I don't see your ID. And he said, well, do you see the ID? And I said, no, you should have a new ID. Then when you told me, do you know who I am? And I said, yes, I do know who you are. And he said, who's your supervisor? And then I mentioned to you, right across from me, there's this office, Jack DeCaron. You walked into his office. You were there about for 2 hours. When you came back, you came and gave me your hand, and you said, congratulations for doing your job. When I applied for the security job after I was laid off, I was told that I was an experienced in security. I did 2 years of security, and I was bilingual too when the bilingual people came into the courthouse. And here's the letter from a Mid-American that I went for the interview and everything, and that I was Jose Rodriguez was in our office for an interview on today's date. At 1:30 p.m., he was given information about janitorial job. However, he denied work. I didn't deny work. When I was making $14 to, I forgot what they were paying, $9. I mean, I own a home. I have 3 kids, and my wife doesn't work. I couldn't make it at $9. It was $14. I couldn't even make it on that. I was struggling. That's all I have to say. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for your comments. Thank everyone for that. As the chairman said, we're done with the item two, and we'll move on to item three. Since item two was just item one was an informational item, Madam Clerk, could you please read item three?